Blog Talk Radio.
God, everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manasseh Christian Ministries, INC. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, and Thankful Thursday. We are here every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. We pray for you. For your family, for whatever God puts on your heart to pray for. And at 7 p.m., our very own associate pastor, Kathy Dubose, from Led by God's Christian Ministry is going to come and bless our hearts this evening with a mighty word from God. So if you want to hear this Holy Ghost-filled woman on fire for the Lord, tune in at 7 p.m. when Pastor Kathy will bless us with a mighty word. Amen. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And that is the reason why we are here today on this program, Pray One for Another, to pray for each other, to pray for our family members, to pray for our neighbors, to pray for our enemies, to pray for whomever God puts on your heart to pray for. Amen. At this time, I'd like to invite the Holy Spirit to come into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come in. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come
Amen. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Elohim Marum, which means God on high. God on high, you sit high and lifted up, seated on your throne. You are the King who reigns over all. Seraphims fly around you, each having six wings. With two wings, they cover their faces. With two wings, they cover their feet. And with two wings, they fly, shouting to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the God on high." As the foundation of the temple trembles at your very presence, you are to be honored, loved, and adored at all times. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Again, you're listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m., our very own Pastor Kathy Dubose from Led by God's Christian Ministry is going to come and bless our hearts this evening with a mighty word from God. Amen. And again, you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. For we know that a family that prays together stays together. Amen. Praise God.
Together, so let's live forever.
God. Father God, we come this evening to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise, to lift up those who are suffering right now, to lift up those who are going through something right now, to lift up those who are going through surgery, depression, the loss of a loved one. We ask that you comfort each and every one of them right now, Lord God. Touch them in a mighty special way. Heal them where they need to be healed. Guide them where you need them to go, Lord God. Father God, I ask that you lift up, I'm coming to you this evening to lift up one of our own sister, Tia Morgan, in prayer in her surgery this evening, Lord God. We ask that you guide the doctor's hands and that she will come through this surgery and with flying colors, Lord God. Let your will be done in this situation, Lord God. Heal her where she needs to be healed. Touch her from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, Lord God, and guide her in the way that you would have her to go, Lord God. Let your will be done, not our will be done, but your will be done in her life and in her surgery this evening, Lord God. Guide the doctor's hands to take what is need to be taken out and to heal her in the way that you would have her to be healed. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise be to God. Because you are the God of the healer. You heal those who need to be healed. You comfort those who need to be comforted, Lord God. And this is what we are asking this evening. Because you are the mighty healer, the one and only God, the God of our strength, the God of Israel, the God of mercy. We ask you are the all El Shaddai, God Almighty. Let your will be done in this situation. Comfort all of the families that are suffering and in mourning this evening on the loss of their family in the and the collapse of the building in Florida, Lord God. We ask these blessings in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, our Lord. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And this next selection is to let all of those know who are going through whatever trauma, whatever hurt, pain, disappointment, depression, mental illness that they are going through. I just want to let you know that everything will be all right in the morning. Amen. So I'm going to play this selection in the morning. It will be all right. By Prophet Wiggins. Just listen to the words of this song, and it will bring some kind of comfort to your situation. Amen. Praise be to God.
You might be in a place in your life where all you see is the color gray, and the future looks dark and dreary. It's just like a dark cloud came over the earth and covered the land with fog. But there's one thing I want you to know. The Bible says in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And it was good. Let me tell you about it. There were many times in my life when I felt like I was all by myself, and I needed an answer from the Lord. There were many times when I had nobody to turn to, but the Lord. So I decided to give him a try. I had to call on him.
Call on him.
Pleaded with the Lord to heal.
Call on him.
Down on my knees, I called on him. Hey.
Call on him.
All of a sudden, I heard a voice. Trials and tribulations and your heavy laden burden. Jesus said, cast your cares upon me and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You might feel like you're being tried, just trying to stand the test of time. But let me tell you one thing, the God I serve is able to do all things exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask and think, according to the power of his riches and glory that work in us. All you have to do is make Jesus Lord of your life. Come on, let's pray about it. All you gotta do is call on him.
Call on him.
Sometimes you gotta call on him. Hey!
Call
down on your
knees,
pleading, Lord, we'll hear your cry.
Call on him.
You gotta call on him. And hear his voice. Speaking way deep down inside.
God, in the morning it will be all right. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Well, come on, put your hands together. If you know you're going high in Jesus, I know I am. Come on, listen. I'm moving upward and I
Praise God. It is now time for our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening. Praise God. Amen. And the title of this message is Not Rushing Prayer. Amen. Praise God. The scripture reading for this message is coming from Psalms chapter 46, verses 1 through 11. Amen. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation, where it says, God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not fear when earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea. Let the ocean roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as the water surges. A river brings joy to the city of our God, the sacred home of the Most High. God dwells in that city. It cannot be destroyed. From the very break of day, God will protect it. The nations are in chaos and their kingdoms crumble. God's voice thunders and the earth melts. The Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. Come. See the glorious works of the Lord. See how he brings destruction upon the world. He causes wars to end throughout the earth. He breaks the bow, the bow, and snaps the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. The Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and the doing of his mighty word. Amen. Praise be to God. So this chapter is talking about the fear of mountains or cities suddenly crumbling into the sea as the results of an earthquake or a nuclear blast haunts many people today. But the psalm writer says that even if the world were to end, we need not fear. In the face of utter destruction, the writer expressed a quiet confidence in God's ability to save him. It seems impossible to consider the end of the world without becoming consumed by fear. But the Bible is clear. God is our refuge, even in the midst of total destruction. He is not merely a temporary retreat. He is our eternal refuge and can provide strength in any circumstances. Many great cities have rivers flowing through them, sustaining people's lives by making agriculture possible and facilitating trade with other cities. Jerusalem had no river, but it had God, who, like a river, sustained the people's lives. As long as God lived among the people, the city was invincible. But when the people abandoned him, God no longer protected them, and Jerusalem fell to the Babylonian army. War and destruction are inedible, but so is God's final victory. At that time, all will stand quietly before the all-powerful Lord. How proper then for us to be still now, reverently honoring him and his power and majesty. Take time each day to be still and honor God. Amen. The text for this message is coming from Psalms 46 and 10, and it says, be still and know that I am God. Amen. The writer Alice Luciana recounts a story of how the Hawaiian people would sit outside their temples for a lengthy amount of time, preparing themselves before entering in. Even after entering, they would creep to the altar to offer their prayers. Afterward, they would sit outside again for a long time to breathe life into their prayers. When missionaries came to the island, the Hawaiians sometimes considered their prayers odd. The missionaries would stand up, utter a few sentences, call them prayer, say amen, and be done with it. The Hawaiians described these prayers as without breath. Alice's story speaks of how God's people may not always take the opportunity to be still and know. Make no mistake, God hears our prayers, whether they are quick or slow, but often the pace of our lives mimics the pace of our hearts, and we need to allow ample time for God to speak into not only our lives, but the lives of those around us. How many life-giving moments have we missed by rushing, saying amen, and being done with it? We are often impatient with everything from slow people to slow lane in traffic. Yet, I believe God in his kindness says, be still, breathe in and out, go slow, and remember that I am God, your refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. To do so, to know that God is God. To do so is to trust. To do so is to live. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Question. Recall a time when you slowed down and listened to God in your prayer time. How did that feel? What actions can you put into place to steel yourself in God's presence and know him? Think about those questions. Amen. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Father, thank you for being our ever-present help in good times and bad. Give us the grace to be still and know that you are God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And that concludes our daily bread and sweet our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening. Praise be to God. So again, at this time, I want to let you know that this is our sweet hour of prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Amen. So that is the reason why we are here, to pray for one another, to pray for our families, our friends, our enemies, and to pray for our nations, our governments, to pray for whatever it is that God puts on your heart to pray for within his will. Amen. At this time, while we're waiting on our speaker for this evening, I will play another selection, and it's entitled, Hold On to the Hem of His Garment. Praise be to God.
Hold on to the hem of his garment.
Amen. Praise be to God. Hold on to the hem of his garment. At this time, I'd like to play another selection.
Father, we ask you now, as we lift your name, that you'll dwell among us and be our God, and we are your people. Let's realize this together. No matter what,
no matter what,
come on, the problem.
The problem may be,
he's in control.
He's in control and he knows
yes,
everything.
I have the victory cause.
I have the victory for he is my king.
In him I live, I move,
in him I live, move and have my being.
Say it again. No matter what.
No matter what. The problem may be,
he's in control.
He's in control and he knows everything.
How many know that you got the victory?
I have the victory for he is my king.
Him I live, I move,
in
and
him I live,
I
move, and have my king.
Say
team.
Like the best of people.
Best of
come
peace.
On, lift him up in here.
He's in control and he knows everything.
I have the victory,
I have the victory for he is my king.
In him I live.
In him I live, move and have my being.
That again. No matter what.
No matter what. The problem may
come on, clap your hands like this. Sing it with us.
He's in control and he knows everything.
I have the victory,
I have the victory for he is my king.
In him I live.
In him I live.
Can you believe that?
My
sing this with us. Let the people. Come on, lift him.
Lift him up, rejoice,
and shout unto him.
Come on,
you call him.
We have cause to triumph, and we know we will rule in the end.
God on high, touch our lips with a burning coal as an angel touched the lips of Isaiah as he stood in your presence. For we are also a person of unclean lips. We live among a people of unclean lips, and our eyes have seen the King Elohim Maron. Humbly we bow before you and ask for your cleansing power in our life. We confess we have not recognized your glory for all its worth or acknowledge your greatness in the expanse of your creation. The oceans are but a drop of water to you, the galaxies like gnats in space. The highest peak on earth is merely a footstool for you, because you are God on high. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God.
Through you, I can do anything. I can do all things, 'cause it's you who gives me strength. Nothing is impossible. Through you, blind eyes are open, strongholds are broken. I'm living by faith. Nothing is impossible. Oh,
I believe in you. Nothing is impossible for our God. Again, we're waiting on our speaker, our very own pastor, Kathy Dubose from Led by God's Christian Ministry, who's going to come and bless our hearts this evening with a mighty word from God. So you don't want to miss this Holy Ghost-filled woman on fire for the Lord. You can call in at 319-527-6204. And Pastor Kathy will be with us momentarily, and she's going to truly bless our hearts. I'd like to acknowledge my guests online. God bless you, 678-480. How are you this evening?
Wonderful. And you?
Blessed. Thank you. Praise be to God. And that is our sister Johnson.
Yes, it is I. It is
Praise
I.
Praise be to God.
Yes,
Amen.
Lord.
So like
thank
said,
you.
We are waiting on Pastor Kathy. I don't want to start a selection and then, you know, come on, and then I will, well, it's okay, because I'll just start a player selection, a short one,
okay.
And then I will just, you know, close it down when she comes on, amen? So we're going to move on to the next level. Oh, no, we're not. We're going to introduce our very own Pastor Kathy Dubose from Led by God's Christian Ministry, who's going to come and bless our hearts this evening with a mighty word from God. So God bless you, Pastor Kathy, and we're
Yay.
Going to give her a hand clap praise. God bless you, Pastor Kathy. How are you this evening?
God bless you. Doing awesome. Thank you.
Praise, praise God.
Amen.
Amen. It's in your hands.
Yes. Ooh. That was quick.
Well, I was going to play a selection, but I was telling Sister Johnson, if I play the selection, then you're going to pop on. So as soon as I was getting ready to put it on, here you popped on.
Right.
Well, bless God. Oh, I'm telling you, I have been. Ooh, these lips. Somebody give me a saw. I want to cut them off.
Oh, no. Are you still having
that
problem?
I think I found out what's going on, though. I think so. I don't know. I'm going back to the doctor next week. But I think because inside my job, it gets hot. Well, it's cool in there. But as soon as it gets hot outside, it's like it comes under the doors and follows my lips.
Right.
And then when I step outside, oh, my God, I step outside from anywhere, and these lips be tearing me to pieces. I said, okay, I'm just going to grab these lips and throw them away. They are killing me.
You know how much money
but
people
you know
paying to get them kind of lips?
Right.
I say, do you have any idea how much money people pay just to get those lips?
Right.
They can have these old big old lips, because they're burning every ounce of them.
Oh, my God.
But anyhow, I am just so grateful it's another Thursday. We are here, alive, healthy, well. God has given us an awesome, awesome word. Can't say anything but thank you, God. Thank you, God. I took my time and drove down the road so I wasn't zooming in and out of traffic. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! But anyhow, we're going to get into this word because there's some meat up in here, and I got to make sure, just like a neck bone, you get every ounce of that meat out of that bone. My goodness, glory to God. You know, I always use a neck bone because you know that's one of my favorite things. I throw it in the cabbage, the greens, everything. And I'm plucking, trying to get every spit of the meat out of that bone.
Because
that's where all the juice is.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? You think you got all the good stuff? No, when you get to digging, and you get that little piece that comes out, that's where all the juice is. Come on now. Jesus and Heavenly Father, just want to say thank you, oh God. Thank you, because you saw fit to allow us to see another day. Ooh,
yes.
You woke us up this morning, clothed in our right mind, divine healings within our bodies. And for that, we say thank you. We honor you. We glorify you. Father God, as we travel throughout the town, the city, driving on the highways and byways, not realizing how much you were protecting us from danger seen and unforeseen.
Mm-hmm.
And for that, we say thank you. We honor you, oh God. You have been good to us.
Maybe.
You know, we take it lightly that we got up this morning, went to work, came back, and everything was okay. We don't think for one second that you have your angels in camps around us, or that you have a hedge of protection around us. We're just going throughout our day. But when we realize it, we'll start saying, God, I thank you. You know, when we say it, when we say an accident or something, and someone is laid out on the side of the road, we go, oh, my God, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Huh? We're so busy saying, thank you, God, that's not me. How about, Lord, let that person be okay?
Right.
Lord, go see about them.
Yes.
Come on now.
Mm-hmm.
We got to stop being so selfish, because we are. We are selfish folks. Yes, we are. We are thinking about ourselves, what we want out to think.
Mm-hmm.
But anyhow, I'm going to get into this word. Thank God for all of our leaders. Thank God for the visionary, Apostle Artie Wiggins. Thank God for Lady Nadine, his lovely bride. Our assistant pastor, Evangelist Hilda, the host of the show. God bless you, woman of God, for all that you do.
Mm-hmm.
I pray your continued strength each and every day, because you do a lot of stuff. I thank God for Apostle Jackson, Dr. Verlin Turner, Apostle Mother Wiggins, bless God for her. We thank God for Sister Barbara and all of the other fivefold leaders that are in separate parts of the vineyard. We bless God for Pastor Stephen Dubose, the love of my life. God bless the man of God.
Amen.
And you know what? On that note, God bless all the men of God out there.
Amen.
You know, that are hanging in there and doing the thing. You got some men that are going astray.
Yep.
Ooh, help me with that one, Lord. I'll say that for another time. But you have some men that are going astray.
That's
and when
true.
I say astray, I mean astray. Yeah. I'm sorry. Am I the only one that watched TV? So in case you haven't noticed, because they have it on every single show now, you have men that are going astray and women that are going astray.
Yes, Lord.
But anyhow, so we bless God for the ones that are living with their natural bodies and saying, God, thank you for this body, no matter what it looks like. Thank you, God.
Amen.
I am who I'm
supposed
to be. Amen. We bless God for all of our listeners today. Thank you for taking the time to tune in. We pray that God will bless your life with this word. And then as a result, God and only God will be glorified. Amen. Let's go into this word right now. Oh, I know that ain't the hope. All that background noise. Ooh, shame on you. Here we go. We are coming from, thank you, Lord Jesus. We all over the place today. We're coming from Genesis chapter 9. Verses 21 through 23, and then all the way to the back of your Bible, we're going to come from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 9. Amen.
Amen.
Genesis chapter 9, verses 21 through 23. But when he drank some of its wine, he became drunk and uncovered himself inside his tent, and Ham, the father of Canaan, saw his father's nakedness and told his two brothers outside. Then Shem and Japheth took a garment and placed it across their shoulders, and walking backward, they covered their father's nakedness. Their faces were turned away so that they did not see their father's nakedness. 1 Peter 4:7-9. The end of all things is near. Thank you, God. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and sober. Oh, my goodness, glory to God, so that you can pray. Above all, love one another deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another. What? Without complaining. Don't be doing all kind of stuff for me and you got to complain. Ooh, come
okay.
on now. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Okay.
Don't have me preach too
right.
soon, Lord. I want to get in this word.
All right.
Amen. May the Lord continue to add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and always the doing of his word. Amen.
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 Here we
Amen.
Go. The title of this message is That's Not Love. That's Not Love. You know, I looked at the scripture, and a lot of times we don't understand that when God keeps sending us the same word over and over and over again, he's doing it because he's trying to get a point across. And right now, I told y'all my parents were my best teachers. Right now, I got to think about my father, and I told y'all my father was West Indian. And so with the man being from the islands, I don't know, he sounds like he still just came off the boat. But he's been here for 20-some years, and he still sounds like he just left the island. But anyhow, so his thing is he'll say something to you, then you look at it, you go, okay, you go about your business. You come back, he'll say it again. Go on about the business. He'll say, okay. Go on about the business, come back again, then walk into him again, and he'll say it again. And you're like, what is wrong with him? Why is he repeating himself? And you go on, you say, okay, I got it. And you go on about the business, and you look at it and say, you told me to do that. I got it. Okay. You know, and then a little bit later, or maybe the next day, he'll tell you again. And you're like, okay, what is wrong with him? And guess what? He's looking at you going, what is wrong with you? I'm not the one repeating myself. No, you're the one not listening the first time around. Ooh. Okay. All right. And so with that, I looked at him and I said, what? He said, if you would have done it the first time, it would have been no need for me to keep telling you. So you waiting to see that I did it? Yeah. And you know, when you're young, you say, oh, I'll get that done. Don't worry about it. It's going to be done. I'll get it done. Don't worry about it. It's going to be done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a sad thing, because guess what? Some young people never made it to be old. Come on now.
Right.
Yeah. They were taken up out of here in their young age. But the thing is, that word is called procrastination. Your parents ask you to do something, and you don't do it. And you know, we kids, we're stupid. We're not even paying attention to the fact that they're repeating it over and over again. We think it's something wrong with them.
Mm-hmm.
No, I wouldn't have to repeat it if you did it the first time around. Okay, I got it now. I'm going to do that again. So with that being said, understand why God constantly brings the same word over and over again, because it bears repeating. Why? Because evidently we are not paying attention. We are not listening. And you know how he knows? Because we are not doing what we're supposed to be doing.
Ooh.
That's how he knows. My goodness, glory to God. The title of this message is That's Not Love. Now, y'all know the story with Noah. And Noah had a few drinks. Hey, I don't know if Noah had one drink. All I know is he was drunk and he fell asleep and he took his clothes off. You know, as far as I know, the alcohol might have got him hot. And he took his clothes off to cool off. I don't know. But he was laying in his nakedness and his son comes in and, ooh, look, I know daddy ain't laying there with no clothes on. But look how stupid he was. He ran outside to go tell his brother, right?
Yes.
You know what God said? That's not love. I find it hard to understand, and I know that's what God is saying. How are you going to love me when you don't love them?
Mm-hmm.
Who is them? Anybody, yeah, right? You don't love your parents enough to cover him? Huh? You going to run outside and tell your brother so they can come and see and make a mockery of him?
Right.
You know, I love this because if you think about it, you got to understand, not only did Noah build the ark and do all of those things, you got to understand that before Noah built the ark and did all of those things, God knew him, right? God knew about the day he was going to be laying there butt naked.
Mm-hmm.
God knew he was going to get drunk. God knew all of that and still said Noah was more righteous than anyone else around, so he chose Noah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you got to understand, when we say he knows us, God knows us, he don't know us right now. He knows us back then. He knows us right now, and he knows us in the future. He already knows us. Everything we're going to do, everything we're thinking about doing, everything about us, he knows.
Yes, he does.
That ought to be good news for everybody. Because if he knows all that junk about you and he still chooses you, come on now. He must see some good in you.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And guess what? That's what Peter was saying. Peter said, love covers a multitude of sins. He did not say love covers up. He said it covers. I had to dig deep because the last time I said that thing, I said, it seemed like I didn't get all the meat out that bone. And I had to dig deeper only to find out what Peter's talking about here when he said love covers a multitude of sins. You got to understand, he's talking about God.
Yes.
Because God is love. So if he said God covers up a multitude of sins, that means when his son died on that cross, oh my goodness, glory to God. When his son died on that cross, pour out sin, and it was a multitude of them. Come on now.
That's right. Yeah,
that was love pinned up on that cross for us. Ooh, God, I love you. That wasn't Jesus. That was love. Jesus was back in the Garden of Gethsemane crying, let this cup pass from before me. But love strengthened his leg, his arm, and made him walk on, knowing he was headed for the cross. That was love. That was not Jesus. That was love.
Yes.
And someone said, that wasn't Jesus. Okay. You know that when you saw Jesus, Jesus said, when you see me, you see the Father, right?
That's right.
So Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. But at the time when Jesus was doing what he was doing, he was, my goodness, glory to God. He was in a human form as Jesus. He wasn't He wasn't being God. He wasn't being the Holy Ghost. He was being Jesus. Because guess what? The mother, the daughter, and the wife can't be but one at a time, right?
Yes, one at a time.
And even though God is all three, he's only acting as one at a time. One at a time. Because guess what? When you feel that unctioning in your spirit to do something or say something, that's the Holy Ghost. Okay? That's his role. When Jesus went on the cross, that was his role as a human being. My goodness, glory to God. The Father that's given the instructions, that's his role as the Father.
Amen. Yes.
Yep. Come on now. My goodness, glory to God. And so now, when Jesus goes to the cross, Jesus wasn't going. Love was going. Because Jesus was getting a little weak. He was already being towed down. Not because they beat him. But look at all the places he had to travel to. Look at all the work he was doing along the way. All of the miracles. Come on now. And because he was doing those miracles, it was draining him. He didn't have the strength to get to that cross. Huh? So why did he keep going, love?
Rolled on it.
Mm-hmm. Love. When Peter's talking about love covers a multitude of sins, when Jesus got on the boat and said, I need you to follow, he looked at, he said, Lord, get away from me. I'm a man of many sins. Jesus is like, okay, come on with me. So Peter's saying, I know that love covers a multitude of sins. You know what love is? When he's saying it covers a multitude, it's forgiveness.
Yes.
He's not covering it up. He's forgiving what you have confessed.
Mm-hmm. Jesus.
You know how I know? My goodness, glory to God. Watch this. King David says, ooh, I got to tell you, Lord, I got to tell you this is what happened to me. When I was hiding my sin from you, oh, my goodness, my bones were wasting. I was groaning in my spirit all day and all night. It weighed heavy on me. My strength was zapped out of my body. Why? Because he didn't want to open up his mouth and confess his sin. He said, but then, oh, my goodness, he said, as long as I remained silent about my sin, it ate away at me spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
Guilt, remorse, shame, all of that was eating me up. And David says, but then I came clean. I acknowledged my sin to you. I looked at you and said, it was against you that I committed this sin.
Yes.
And he was freed up. So, in other words, the commentary says David uncovered his sin to allow God to cover it.
Yes.
He uncovered it. He revealed to God what he'd done. Now, God knew. And that's the thing about it. I don't even understand why you think you're hiding it. You hide from God, the creator that sees and knows all things.
Mm-hmm.
He sees you hiding it. Look at Adam and Eve in the garden. Uh-oh, here come the Lord. Put this leaf over you because we naked.
Mm-hmm.
So when God said, Adam, where are you? I'm over here. Why are you hiding? Where you at? Over here. Yeah. What have you done, Adam? And guess what? He's like, it was the woman you gave me. She made me sin. And so now we got this leaves over us covering ourselves up because we naked. Who told you were naked? That's what God said. That's how he knew what they done. Who told you were naked? We ate the tree from the tree and now our eyes is open and I can see her body and she can see mine.
Mm-mm.
When God said, what have you done? He wasn't talking to the woman that gave him the fruit. He was
talking
to Adam.
Yep.
Adam, mm-hmm. I gave you a direct order. She wasn't even here.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, God.
Mm. And so my thing is this. God is saying, when I tell you what to do, I'm only going to hold you accountable.
That's right.
I don't need to hear that Billy, Bob, Sally, Jim, and John kept me from doing what you asked me to do. I don't need to hear that.
Ooh-wee.
All you need to do is look at me and say, Lord, I did not do what you asked me to do.
Jesus.
Well, I know darn well my father, he was, I told you he was West Indian. This man taught us how to drive. When I say us, all six of his kids. By the time they were 13, 14, we all knew how to drive. I was driving at 12 because he had me going everywhere. And so now here goes my brother. My brother who was living in the South, so he didn't know how to drive that good.
Mm-hmm.
And now my father gives the other brother the key because he knows how to drive really good, right? And mm-hmm. and when I tell you my father was mad, he called out all the kids' names. Carol, Kathy, Peaches, Lynn, Drex, Ross, every one of us. He would say all the names so you know all of y'all about to get it. So he gives his key to the brother that he thinks, okay, he can do this. He's going to be all right. Because he had a level head. The rest of us, he was crazy. Now, I was driving the most, but I was crazy. So he gives me the key. Y'all go to the store and get something. Now, this boy takes the key, and he's driving on the road like 70 miles an hour. It might have been 40, but, you know, to be going that fast when you were a kid, it feels like 70.
Yeah.
And I'm going, what are you doing? He goes, no, watch me pass this truck. Watch me pass it. I said, what are you doing? We're going to get it. We get back to the yard. He says, okay, you can drive home. I'm driving home. Get back to the yard driving 5 miles an hour towards the side of my daddy's house. I don't even know how we did it. I think it was all that confusion in the car. Yeah, everybody yelling, screaming, acting the fool. Towards the side. And then when we heard something, we like, what was that? Uh-oh. Oh, we done.
Oh, my.
And the first thing my father said was, who did I give my keys to?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say who was driving. He said, who did I give my keys to?
Uh-huh.
Well, Chad said, my father said, who did I give the keys to?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
You are the one responsible because I gave you my keys.
Amen.
I don't care what happened after you gave them away. I gave them to you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see what God is saying? When I give you a direct order, I'm not giving it to you for you to pass it along. I'm giving it to you for you to carry it out.
Yes, amen. Lord.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness, God. So now, let's take a look at the kids, right? So you see that when his son, when Ham went in there and saw his father naked, that's not love to run out and tell your brother, daddy in there naked coming up.
Nope.
How could that be love? And the sad part is that was your father.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? The sin wasn't in him drinking and then taking off his clothes. The sin came when you saw him and ran out to tell others.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Here's the thing. Mm-hmm. You are going to see your loved ones, your friends. You are going to see people do a lot of stuff.
Yes.
And guess what? God is not looking for you to uncover them. My goodness, glory to God.
Mm.
He's looking for you to show them love.
That's right.
Mm.
Oh, come on, y'all. Missed it. He's looking for you to show them him in the bit.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Because God is love.
Yes, he is.
So when he's looking for you to show them love, he's looking for your, my goodness, your character to lead them back to Christ. You're supposed to lead them to love. How? By showing them love.
Yes.
Now, I've seen what you did. I know all about you. And I'm trying to tell you I'm about to run and tell somebody, well, that's not love.
That's not love.
That's not love. When someone's sin or their pain or whatever they're going through is burning your lips so bad that you got to run tell it,
that's
not love.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because what you're doing is uncovering them.
Mm-hmm.
You're uncovering them in front of a God that wants to cover them.
Right. Right.
He wants to love them. And you're not showing any love by doing what you're doing. I got to get to this one first, Peter. This is good stuff right here. And so, you know, I've always had this problem, even when I was a kid. I got a problem with anybody that don't love or respect their parents. I got a problem with that.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. My daddy, when I was 16, my daddy beat me every single day. I ain't lying. That man beat me every day. But I still showed him love and respect.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? How do you show him respect? He had to beat you every day. Yeah, I still respect him.
Your father.
I wasn't going to school and I got my butt kicked every day. But I still respected him.
Yeah.
You know, you go out there and you're like, oh, I'm just going over here. to play some handball. I was a handball queen. I'm going to play handball. I ain't going no school. And I'm telling you, that'd be the day when they on the live feed going, roulette! Roulette! Your father's at the office. Come here. Roulette is on 23rd Street somewhere down by Fashion Industry going to the park to play handball. And when I get home, it was so sad that when I got home, the Puerto Ricans on the block would go, you gonna get it? I was like, what are you talking about? Ooh, your daddy went to your school. You wasn't. I'm like, oh, my God, you told everybody on the block?
Man.
He looked like a beast coming from corner to corner, and I could see him coming. And I go, oh, my God, he's going to kill me. Look at him. You know, it was like the Jolly Green Giant. Don't. And you can see him coming. You're like, oh, my God, I'm done. And so me, I call myself running too high, and I'd run in there to my grandparents. And then I knew my grandfather wasn't going to protect me because, ooh, he's worse than my daddy. So I run in there to my grandmother, and she said, get up under the bed. Get up under the bed. I'm going to hide you. Just get under the bed. And I crawl under. I was so stupid. I crawl up under the bed. I'm sorry, Cass. I shouldn't use that word. And I crawl up under the bed, and my father come in there, and my grandfather would push the bedroom door open and go, she up under that bed right there. She on under the bed. And my grandmother would jump in front of him, and she was just as short as she could be. Said, Gerald, don't touch this girl. Don't touch her. And my father said, Mom, get out of the way. Get out of the way. You don't know what this kid has been doing. And I'm under the bed going, talk to him, talk to him. And he's going, no, you don't need to put a hand on this girl. I'm not going to let you come through me. And my father said, okay, all right. But you don't know what she's done. And my grandma said, I don't care. You can't keep beating this girl. She ain't getting no better anyway. Still doing it. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, hold on. That don't sound like you on my side. That sound like you caught in between.
But you was telling the truth.
Now I'm laying up under the bed going, thank God. I ain't gonna be.
Not then.
Grandma can't sit in the living room forever. She gotta go to the bathroom.
Right.
I heard that door kick open. I looked out. I said, oh, no. I felt them hands pulling me from up under that bed. I said, wow, you might as well consider you beat me. I'm scared to death. No, that wasn't good enough. I got the beat anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing. You know why I'm telling you this? Because the Puerto Ricans would warn me that I'm going to get a beating. He's on his way. And guess what? Pastor Kathy is warning you.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get a beating.
Ooh.
Because God is looking at you, and he's saying, that is not love. That is not who I created you to be. And guess what? Hello. He's not talking to the world. He's talking to his people. He said, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and turn away from their wicked ways.
Yeah.
Right.
So he sent Pastor Kathy to let you know you're going to get a whooping.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
Jesus.
He's looking at us going, I don't understand. How do you continue to let me bless you, to let me provide for you, to let me protect you? And then I look down at you, and I can't see. No. Not a L, not a O, not a V or an E coming out of you.
Man.
I don't see it. This time my mother would whoop me, and she said, you know what? If anybody would have told me you was going to do this, I wouldn't have believed it. Not my child. Not my child.
Mm-hmm.
I know I raised you better than that. And God is saying, if anybody would have told me, oh, somebody did tell me. He was whispering in my ears, look at Kathy now. That's who you going to allow to preach for you?
Yes.
And he looked back at him and said, it doesn't matter what she's doing or what she's done. She's still
right.
My child.
Right. Ooh,
guess
Lord.
What? unlike you, she has a desire to be cleaned up.
Yes.
And I'm going to clean her up and use her.
That's it.
You got to understand, every day the accuser is going before God to try to discredit you.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
And whenever you cover up your sin, you're giving him even more reason to discredit you, because he's looking at God going, look at her. That's love. She can't even tell you what she did wrong. He can't tell you what he did wrong. They're trying to hide it from you as if you cannot see it.
Lord God.
That's what the accuser is doing to every last one of us. He looks for that moment in your weakness, and you do something crazy, or you, just yesterday we all was in the movie thing, and there was a lady across from us, about 100-something folks up in there, but I was there because that's my job, and we watching a movie, and the lady started calling. We in a church now, 100-something people. And I looked down the row over there, and I said, Cash, hold on one second. I ran over to the water. I got that lady some water. I crossed over the folks, and I told her, hand this to her. Gave that lady the water. And with those tears in her eyes, that's how bad she was choking.
Oh, my God.
She looked up at me and waved her hand. These are all Christians.
Yeah,
watching
and nobody.
A movie, hearing that woman cough like that.
Oh, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And we're sitting in the church fellowship hall.
Come on now. Wow.
By the time I got that cup to her, she couldn't even say thank you. She just raised her hand. I don't know about anybody else. I'm too afraid not to be the way God wants me to be.
Right.
I don't want to be chastised anymore. I don't want no more whooping. I had enough to last me a lifetime.
Is that the truth?
And believe it or not, there's times when God could whoop you and you feel like you're getting that extension cord on your legs all over there. Oh, yeah, my parents didn't believe in belts. They want to make sure you remember this. Well, they could whoop me with extension cord, and 5 minutes later, I'd be done, forgot it.
Oh, Lord.
I'm contemplating how I'm going to go outside that night where they're having battle of the DJs, and I'm going to sneak out there and be doing the hustle and get another beating all over again. I tell you, I don't know what was wrong with me. And like Peter and the rest of them, all I could do is go, God, I don't even know
why
you would choose me. Why would you let me carry something this precious to the world? And God is saying, that's why. Because you've always come to me and said, but God, I've done this and this and this and this and this. And remember when I did this and I did that and I did this? And I saw a shame. And he looks back at me and says, you have no reason to be ashamed. I knew you did all that. I just wanted to see if you would come and confess it. Because, see, man looks at the outer and I look at the inner, and what I see is the heart that I am. What? I'm looking at your heart, and I can see in your heart how much you love me.
Yes.
Not because you confess your sins, Kathy. But because when you were 12 and you saw that kid eating out the trash and you ran to get your mother's groceries away. When you was over there and you see the kid that boo-boo on himself and you cleaned up and hid it and no one would ever have known.
Yeah.
That's why. I kept seeing love. Love. And now I'm telling you, back in those days when I was a kid, God had called me.
Yep.
I didn't know when I was in my mother's womb, he'd already sanctified me, set me apart for his uses. I didn't know that. Because I wouldn't come out, oh, yeah, I probably would have. I was going to say I wouldn't have came out acting a fool, but I probably wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I came out acting a fool. And I'm acting a fool. And at 12 years old, that's when I started hearing his voice.
Mm-hmm.
And I go to my mother, and she said, Cat Bird's a special God's going to use you one day. And I said, what is that? I'm here. What is that? And my mother said, does it scare you? And I said, no. I just, no. You know, even when me and my mother were walking the street and that man came up to me, I know I was 12 or 13, and my mother was taller than me because I hadn't gotten my height yet. And the man looked
mm-hmm.
down at me and said, can you spare some change? And I'm looking at my mother, and I'm looking at him, and I'm looking at her. And I go, why are you asking me? I'm a kid. And I looked at my mother, and I said, he wants some change. And my mother, instead of putting it in his hand, she put it in my hand.
Mm-hmm.
And she put it in my hand, and I gave it to him. And the smile on his face, I will never, ever, I don't think I've ever seen anybody smile like that. It was so gentle and so sincere and so pleasant. And I'm looking, and my mother said, come here, come on, Dad. And I'm like, did you not just see what you got? And she's pulling me, and I turn around, and I can't find the man. And I'm going, what, the man is gone? She said, what man? Get him, come on here. That thing was freaking me out. I was like, did she say what man? What man? We just getting, my mother snatched me and just drug me on down to Park Avenue. Forget about it. She, like, bam, she just snapped out of it. Didn't even know it happened.
Man. Ooh.
That's when you was entertaining.
And I'm still giving things away.
Yeah.
The angel of the Lord.
Yeah.
And I look at me and I don't understand. And God said, it's not for you to understand my bit. And all you're getting is supposed to get understanding, but you don't need to understand why I'm using you.
Hmm.
Huh? Noah didn't understand why he was using him.
Mm-hmm.
Adam didn't understand. Abraham didn't understand.
Mm-hmm.
David didn't understand, right? Because all of them were saying, you know what I've done, right? You see me doing this, this, and this.
Mm-hmm.
And I sinned against you, God. And he said, oh, a man after my own heart.
Mm-hmm.
Come on now.
That's right.
Why? Because we think we have to go into church and hallelujah, praise the Lord, and fall out and start quoting scriptures and doing all of this. And God is not looking at any of that and speaking in tongues and all of that. He's paying that no attention. He's waiting for you to come up against Billy sitting on the side of the road going, you got $5? You got $5?
Mm-hmm.
And you go, nah, I ain't got no change right now. He waiting for Jack on your job to come up on you and say, can you spare me $5 to get some gas? Because I barely made it to work. I wish I could. I ain't got it today. He's waiting for you to walk past Tommy and Tommy say good morning and you not try to hide your head like you didn't hear him and look back and say good morning. He's waiting for you to walk up against somebody and you see them looking horrible, but the smile is not on your face for that. The smile is on your face because they lack knowledge. And this is my opportunity to share knowledge with them.
Yeah.
God is not looking at how you treat him.
That's
he's looking
right.
at how we treat them.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's what he's looking at. And when he said love covers a multitude of sin, at that time, Ham should have just taken the cover and went in there and covered up his father.
That's
because
right.
of love.
Exactly.
Because he went and tried to expose him, God said that's not love. The sad part is the reason why God is telling us this is because a lot of things we have it twisted. We believe when we see certain things that that's love, and God saying that's not love.
Right.
That's not love. I see my daddy knock a wig off a woman's head, and I go, oh, my God, he loves her so much, he's going crazy thinking she's going out on him. And my sister looked at me and said, that's not love.
Mm-mm.
Love is supposed to hurt.
Mm-mm.
And I went, what? She said, love is not supposed to hurt.
Mm-mm.
Look at that woman. She crying running in that building. I thought she was going to laugh with me like, oh, you really love her. She said, that ain't love. Love ain't supposed to hurt.
No.
And right there, it hurt Noah. It hurt Noah to have his son uncover him that way and make a mockery of him, right? You know, whatever he was intending to do, it was not good. But running
right
out there and telling his brother, huh? I had seen my mom and my daddy, whatever, in the new, and I ran back out of there, and I was like, oh, my God. I beat my own self up because I thought I was wrong for even walking in there without knocking on the door. And I sure wasn't going to run and tell nobody. I wasn't that nice. But look at this before I come in for a close. Look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter, this is why God keeps repeating things, because we haven't gotten it right yet. And God is still looking at us, and he's going, that's not love. For him, it was uncovering his father. We are doing other things that God is saying, that's not love. Look at what 1 Peter said. Peter says, the end of all things is near. Sound like God saying, we coming in for a close. Yeah. He says, the end of all things is near. He said, therefore, be clear-minded and sober so that you can pray. He put clear-minded and sober in the same sentence. People see sober and they think not drunk. Are you talking about no alcohol?
No.
He's talking about your way of thinking, your way of life.
Yes.
Right? You cannot pray when you got a bunch of junk in your mind. And guess what he said? He says, above all, love one another.
Another. That's right.
Because love, did you see that word? Because love covers a multitude of sins. Because.
Mm-hmm.
When he says love one another deeply, he says because love covers a multitude of sins. Don't be so quick to uncover somebody.
That's right.
I've seen a lot of people do a lot of things, and I cover them. Right? I don't make excuses for them. I don't act like they never did anything. Well, I just cover them.
That's
like
it.
God has people in my life covering me.
Amen.
People don't even know the half I was doing back then. Because God was covering me. And so that's what Peter's telling us. He says, love one another deeply. If you love them, you'll cover them. Don't be so quick to enjoy someone else's pain.
Right.
Sally getting ready to get a divorce. I knew it. I knew it, girl. I knew they wasn't going to last.
Mm-hmm.
That's not love.
Yep.
How about you pray for that marriage?
Exactly.
Okay. What can I do to help you guys? That's love. That's not love. God is looking at all of us and going, you know, I'm looking at all my children. I'm constantly doing for them. And I'm looking at what they're doing. And that's not love. You know what he's saying? That's not my way. Because if he is love, then whatever we're doing is not his way. And he's not pleased. Everybody's talking about, oh, we have a pandemic. God's going to be blessed God doing it. Yeah, and God is saying, oh, you want me to show you love, but you can't show me no love.
Right.
Man, I've been praying, I've been fasting, I've been giving my tithes and offerings. The devil is a liar. But you don't talk to Sally. You haven't forgiven Bill. You lied on Jackie. You doing this. Come on now.
That's right. Tell it.
You got to say, that's not love. Not me. They got the button and all these things on the car. What would Jesus do? That's not what Jesus would do. But this scripture calls it love. And if he's talking about love, he's talking about himself.
That's right.
You don't need a button that says, what would Jesus do? God is telling you that's not love. How you're treating one another is not love. That's not love. And then he says, show hospitality to one another without complaint.
Exactly.
Stop doing things for people and then got to tell why you did it, how you did it, when you did it. Come on now. That's not love either.
Ooh.
Right?
Ooh.
And inside the scriptures just said, do it as if you would unto the Lord. Without murmuring or complaining. If you're going to do it for them and you're going to complain, don't do it.
Don't do it.
I tell you what, you could never do nothing for my mother and complain. She said, go over there and give me that Pepsi. And you walk out the room and you murmur. That's my turn. I don't even want. She said, come back here for a minute. Come here. And you come back and say, yes, Mom. She grabbed her money out of your hand. I don't need you to do nothing for me.
Right.
Why? Because you're walking away murmuring and complaining.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Exactly.
And here's the thing, and this is me bringing the plane in for a landing. You're talking about a woman that worked two jobs to make sure her kids had food on the table, clothes on their back, a roof over their head.
Mm-hmm.
How many hours of sleep did she get? Maybe five. Maybe five on a daily basis. Just broke down, right? And she asked you to go in the kitchen to get a Pepsi. Come here. I don't need you to do nothing for me. Now look at God. God wakes you up in the morning. Life, health, and strength in your body. You can hear, you can see, you can talk. He gives you the strength to get up and go to the job that he's blessed you to have, because there's
Come
many of people
now.
Out there not
Tell
working.
It.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
There are plenty of
yes.
other people who could have gave that job to, but he gave it to you. And on the way to work, you remember, oh, man, it's going to be this kind of day. I don't want to go to work. Da, da, da.
Mm-hmm.
And God is saying, that's not love either. You know why?
Mm-hmm.
Because who are you complaining against? The one that gave it to you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what you're complaining again.
Mm-hmm.
So God is telling us today, the reason why he repeated the story with Noah, with Ham, uncovering his dad like that, is because God is saying, Ham did that, but what are you doing? That God is saying, that's not love.
That's right.
That's
my Lord.
My right?
Lord.
And here's the thing. When he said love covers a multitude of sins, he's talking about forgiveness, the fact that love was sitting on that cross for him. Yeah. For all of us, I mean. That love was sitting on the cross for us. Our sin, not his. That was love.
He had
right?
Yeah.
And he's saying, I'm not understanding. After I did all that for them, and inside his word, he says to the Israelites, what else do I need to do for you? To get you to act right, to do right, to love one another as I have loved you, to forgive one another as I have forgiven you, to have mercy toward one another as I have mercy toward you, to help one another as I continue to help you, to protect each other, to cover one another.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
What else do I got to do for you to take on my characteristics? Because that's what you're doing. It's not love.
That's right.
That is not my way.
Oh.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes,
God
Lord.
Loves us, but he's not happy with us. And you know why I got to say us? Because there's days he ain't happy with me either. The people are trying to tell me, this is how we do the calendar, da-da-da-da-da, something as simple as that. I had my lips all twisted up like, really? I need all y'all to tell me how to do the calendar. And God said, what is wrong with you? They're there to help you. No, I had my lips twisted. I don't need everybody calling me in here trying to tell me about no calendar. And I told y'all, by the time I walked out of that door and before I could get back on the line and preach again, God had done beat me up so bad I had to go to every last person that was sitting in there and apologize.
Yep.
So when I say us, God is looking at all of us. And he's saying that's not us.
All of us.
Let me tell you, me and Pastor Stephen got into a ruffle the other night. And I wanted to, I wanted to dig that thing in the ground. I was God, God. And God let our baby try to stop us. He said, Meemaw, say sorry. I said, sorry. He said, Pawpaw, say sorry. Now, it took him a minute like it took me a minute. He said, Pawpaw, say sorry. He said, sorry. Now, we were so entwined in what we were saying to one another that we didn't even look at that baby. He tried to bring that thing down. He said, Meemaw, say sorry. Pawpaw, say sorry. Right? Why? Because God said, that's not love either. That's why when I tell y'all, I give this word, but I have to eat this word myself.
That's right.
I'm not exempt.
We do. We're not
In fact, I got to taste test it before I even serve it to you to make sure I'm not the one who's removed the salt from it.
Okay.
All right. All right.
Because we're supposed to be the salt of the earth.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And if the meal is missing something, I have to look at me. Didn't I add this in that? Yeah, you did all that, but you forgot about this. Love. And I'm not talking about right now. I'm talking about with that person and that person and that person. And that's why God brought this story back around. So we wouldn't be concentrating on Noah and his son and what he did, but concentrate on what we're doing. And the reason why God is looking at us and going, that's not love. That is not who I am.
Definitely not.
You didn't get that from me. God is forgiving, loving, merciful. Come on now. He'll give you a second, third, fourth, fifth. He's going to give you other chances. And he's not going to condemn you. Stop beating yourself up with guilt and shame. Let that go. Because God is saying, that ain't even love. If I hold all that against you, what's the sense of me telling you I love you, but I'm still holding stuff against you? No, I'm the one that's coming in and creating in you a clean heart, renew a right spirit. I'm making you more Christ-like. But I can only do so much. I can only do what you let me do. Yeah, because some people don't want to change. Some people don't want to do right. I don't want to do right because I don't want to spend all this time down here preaching to all y'all, and I get to the pearly gates and y'all flying in. Bye-bye. See you. And I'm at the gate going, what? Lord, get away from me, for I know you're not. Yeah, you did that, but this over here, you're not getting it. And so I have to continue to examine my own self and my own ways. And God is telling us today, we have to examine ourselves. Stop looking at other people. Examine yourself.
Thank you.
And after you've examined yourself, and you say, well, I don't see nothing wrong with me. I don't see nothing wrong with what I do. Then turn around and say, Lord, you examine me. Lord, you show me. And then he'll reveal it to you. Because, you know, we're looking at ourselves. We get lying to ourselves. I'm all right. I ain't doing nothing wrong. I ain't hurting nobody. What? Really? Ooh, the truth is not in you. All of y'all down there doing wrong.
Right.
That's right.
And I'm all of us like that. All of you.
Every single one.
Just like I told y'all, when my daddy would get really mad at us because of stuff we did, he'd call out every one of our names. Why? Because he blamed every last one of us. And he would look at every one of us and tell us our part and what just went wrong. tell you. Because all of y'all was together, all of y'all taking part in this. And all of us are down here together.
Yes, we are.
We're together. And guess what? The world will change when they see the church change.
Come on now.
They're not seeing the church change. They're seeing the church join them in their mat.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. They used to respect if a pastor or a preacher came by. They stopped cussing. They stopped talking. Oh, here come that preacher. Now they just keep on doing it.
That's right.
Right.
Why? It's not because of them, because of the church.
Mm-hmm.
The respect we lost is not because of them. It's because of the church. We're allowing too many things to go forth in the church. So they're feeling like, well, shoot, they try to be like the world.
There you go.
I was looking on a thing, and I was getting ready to listen to this preacher. Girl told me, listen, I kept looking. I said, what is that? What is that he got on? Oh, my God. Huh. He in a full silver earrings in his ears.
Wow.
Huh. I don't think so. Click. I can't listen to you because you're not following what the word of God says. Women are to adorn themselves as women and men are to adorn themselves as men. And I said, so every male that watches him is saying, shoot, Pastor so-and-so had earrings.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you teaching them? You're not teaching them God's way, and there's no reason for me to listen to you if you're not going to teach me God's way.
That's right.
Right now, God is asking us to examine ourselves, and if you don't see anything wrong, be honest with yourself and say, Lord, show me.
Mm-hmm.
He's just waiting to show us what we're doing wrong.
Open up.
Amen. Because today you need to understand what you're doing, that's not love. If you got to help somebody in secret so you can go someplace else and get the credit for what you did for somebody else, that's not love.
Not love at all.
If you give somebody money or something in their time of need and you go back and you tell everybody, that's not love.
No.
God said if you need the appraisal of men, you've got your reward already.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need me to reward you. They already rewarded you.
Yeah.
You told them everything.
That's it.
He says, what you do in your closet will get rewarded in the open.
Yes.
We've forgotten what love looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Look it up. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is long-suffering. Come on now.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't hurt. Start looking it up so we can walk in love.
Amen.
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 God bless you guys.
Amen.
God bless you. Thank you.
It was a beautiful, beautiful word this evening, and I think Pastor Kathy deserves a hand clap praise.
Amen.
Amen. Anyone have anything that they want to say about the word, please feel free in no particular order. Anyone who have anything that they want to say.
It was just wonderful.
Absolutely.
For sister-in-law. It was just wonderful. And I'm trying not to judge, but it spoke about several people in my family. And, oh, my God, why do you do the things to help others and at the same time you're talking about them?
That's what family does. I mean, you know.
That's
you
not
know
just family, that's everybody.
Yes,
but
everybody. But, your friends, your neighbors. Everybody,
everybody wants credit for what they've done.
Yes,
and I've said it to one person in particular while she's fussing about doing something. Well, why are you doing it? Why, if
that's what I can't
understand?
If you don't want, if you feel in your heart that you don't want to do something for the person, then don't do it.
Don't do
it. You know, but don't, I mean, like, you do it, then don't complain about it or don't speak about it. That's between you and God.
Yes, it is.
I don't think that. I think that when people do stuff for other people and then they got to talk about what they've done for you and, you know, all of it, I think they don't understand when God says, when you've done it, you don't have to tell everybody you've done it. The only person that needs to know is me, and I'm watching.
Yeah,
exactly.
I already know what you what you're gonna
you
do.
You don't even have to tell me. You know, Peter, First Peter says that we're drawing near to the end of time. The end of things is coming near. Now, near. Well, God, could be 1,000 years, could be 100 days, could be another day.
Yes.
We don't know. But he said we're coming near. And the closer we get to the end, the worse we look to him. Because he's looking at, we go, you know what? You know how I know that's what he's thinking? Because he's prolonging his coming back.
Yes.
And if he's prolonging coming back, it's because he's not seeing what he wants to see yet.
Exactly.
And people really think that, you know, because we went through this little pandemic, that that's the end. No, it's still more to come.
That ain't it. That's it not it. I'm telling you, I'm taking heed to what God is saying. Don't look at them. They're doing wrong. Just look at you.
That's it.
Let me deal with them.
Absolutely.
And that's the biggest thing. Let me deal with them and you deal with you. You get you right.
That's it. That's it.
Because
you know what, believe it or not, most people fall short because they're looking at other people going, I'm not doing what they're doing. At least I'm not like that. So it makes you feel like you're doing good, but you really aren't. You're just comparing yourself to someone who's doing worse.
Exactly.
Oh, God.
Just
that's
like big girls. Big girls don't usually like to hang out with little girls. Why? Because it makes them feel bigger. So if you're a big girl, you go hang out with a bigger girl. And then you don't feel as big. But it doesn't mean you're not big. It just means they're bigger.
Right.
Just like if you go hang out with someone that's sinning more than you, it doesn't mean you're not in sin. It just means they're doing more than what you're doing. But you're in there too. And guess what? God doesn't have a scale.
That's right.
Whether you stole a lollipop or a car, it doesn't matter. You're a thief.
Exactly.
Whether you tell a white lie or a blue lie, it doesn't matter. You're
a
liar.
It's a lie.
It's a lie.
That's it.
Oh, God.
You're a liar.
God is trying to get us back to letting the world see his love.
Yes.
And that's why he said, that's not love.
Nope.
For him, it was what he did with Noah. For the rest of us, God is saying, that's not love. I can't draw the world with what y'all doing.
But Ham not only just disrespect his father, he disrespect God too.
Yes, he did. Because guess what? God just used him saying he was more righteous than anyone else around.
Exactly.
And he already knew what he was going to do because he was in his future.
Yep.
But he still said he was righteous. You know, I've been doing a lot of studying. God has been showing me a lot of things lately, and I'm going, well, wow. You know, I know when God is elevating, and he's elevating the faithful right now. And I'm sitting there going, you know, you get kind of scared because you're like, okay, I feel that elevation. But I still did that over there. And you still came to tell me. And I did that, you still came to tell me. And you're not doing those things right now. You did them then. But anyway, I love you guys, and I'm so grateful that God is continuing to feed us and educate us. And today he's educating us on love.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's saying, that's not love. What you're doing, you are hurting other people. That's not love. I got friends, the more I tell them the truth, the more they run away from me.
Mm-hmm.
So I had decided I wasn't going to tell the truth anymore.
That's it.
No, I wasn't going to lie. I just wasn't going to tell the truth. So what does that mean? I ain't going to say nothing to you.
That's it.
And guess what happened to me? My lips got all messed up.
Okay. That's an allergic
reaction. And while I'm running to the doctors, I'm running back and forth to the doctors, and I'm going, wait a minute, Lord. What did you want to my lips? Because I remember the last time when I was in San Diego, and the people would say, is Kathy gay?
Oh, God.
Because I would run around and hug and kiss everybody in the church. And Pastor said, do y'all not see her hugging and kissing everybody?
That's
when
a cultural thing. That's what we do.
And so what happened to me, I said, well, Pastor Dave got to worry about me because I ain't trying to kiss nobody no more. I'm going to keep my lips to myself. And I'm telling you, a couple days later, if she was alive, she'd tell you, I had all kind of sores on my lips. And she looked at me and she said, oh, so you're going to keep your lips to yourself? She said, Kathy, you don't even see how God is using you with those lips.
Mm-mm.
Some people don't ever get to feel the kind of love that you want to show people.
Right.
I said, but they don't want me to kiss them. She said, that don't stop you from being you. You don't let who people are change who you are.
Right.
And I went, okay. And now I have to think about it. I'm going, God, I pray for myself. Usually when I pray for myself, I get the healing, you know. People pray for me. I said, oh, Lord, you ain't let me get healed. What's going on? You know? And there's some days I don't feel it, then there's days that just come back. I said, okay. I got to get right so my lips can start hurting me. But because I chose not to tell people anything anymore. So I said, if you don't need your lips, then I can just let him attack them. And if you see somebody doing wrong and you don't stop them, then that blood is on you, Kathy. I got a friend, and this man loves me, you hear me? I got a friend, and he done been missing in action for a couple of weeks now, you know, since our birthday. And I said, okay, I guess you don't want to talk to me no more. No problem. I'm going to let you be. And today, when I thought about why my lips are still messed up, I said, wait a minute. He's one of those people. So I texted him, and I went, you know, I wish I could hold back and not tell you what you need to hear. But you're in my prayer circle, so I can't. And I said, so I'm just going to keep on texting. You don't got to answer, but at least I know your blood is not on my hands. And a few minutes later, he texted back. He said, no. I said, you're trying to escape. But you feel like every time she come to me, she got something bad to say to me. And I said, I don't have anything bad to say. It's you.
Bad.
You got those wandering eyes.
Mm-hmm.
You came to me and said, God sent you to me. Well, then you got to be ready what God sent me to bring you.
Right.
He sent me to bring you the truth. And the truth is you got wandering eyes. There were days I was at work and I look at him and I put my fist in my eye like, I'm going to pluck your eye out. And he'll look at me and he'll kind of duck into his office. Yeah, you told me God said, go ahead, tell you everything I'm supposed to tell you. But anyway, we're running out of time, and I want y'all to know, if you are looking to get where God is, you've got to start doing what God does down here. You've got to show love.
Amen.
The world does not know love. We are the ones that God is using to show them. We
yes.
are the ones that have been sent here to bring flavor to this earth. We're the
mm-hmm.
salt of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. So if it doesn't taste good and it doesn't look good, he's not blaming them. He's blaming us.
Yeah.
My people.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We got to do better. We have
yes.
got to do better. But anyway, I love you guys. And for those of you under the sound of my voice that don't have a relationship with God, it is not too late. This word has come because God is saying to us, the church, when, who told you to stop showing love? It's through love and kindness that I've drawn them. And if you don't see new souls coming in, it's because I'm not seeing no love and kindness to draw them with.
That's right.
Yeah. And so for all of you, God has simplified it. All you got to do is, Father God, I'm a sinner. I repent of my sins. I believe that Jesus Christ came into this world to die on the cross for my sins. I believe he exists. You got to confess with your mouth that Jesus exists, because everything else follows.
Yeah.
You got to tell him, I believe this is real. Jesus is real.
Mm-hmm.
And you are a merciful, forgiving, loving God. And with that, I'm telling you, once you say, Father God, I'm a sinner, huh? I repent of my sins. Father God, I believe Jesus came into this world for my sins. Come into my life, I'll make you my Lord and Savior. And that's really all it takes, no matter how they make the words all fancy or whatever. That's really all it takes.
That's right.
And then he brings you on in. Now, here's the thing, though. It's a process. You're not going to see all of your wicked ways go away overnight. It's a process.
Mm-hmm.
The weight didn't come
mm-hmm.
on overnight. You're not going to lose it overnight.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing with wrongful doing. It took years. You've been doing this thing for years. So let God take you through the process. It's a daily walk with God. And every
mm-hmm.
day you ought to see yourself, oh, I don't do that no more. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. And you
mm-hmm.
ought to be seeing a change by the time of year. Because you, whoa, I'm not where I used to be.
That's
yeah.
it.
And so we thank God. Precious and Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you're going to do. We thank you for never, ever giving up on us. And we don't need to give up on one another. Huh? We need to continue to pray and lift each other up
yes.
until we get to that place where you see love and you can start drawing the world again through our love and our kindness. We thank
yes.
you for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you're going to do. We love you. We honor you. We adore you. You are a graceful God. If anybody knows you, know that you are merciful, forgiving, and loving. And for
mm-hmm.
that, we say thank you.
Thank
we bless you.
You
for this word
mm-hmm.
on today, that you have gently come to remind us, wait a minute, that's not love.
Mm-hmm.
If this is, what is this, Jesus? What is this, God? What is this? That's love, right?
Amen.
Unconditional love.
Unconditional.
We thank
Praise
you, Father,
mm-hmm.
for never giving up on us and always, always educating us.
Yes.
Every
yes.
time we get in your word, it is another lesson on how to live right, how to do right, how to
mm-hmm.
be found pleasing in your sight. We mm-hmm. just ask that you continue to let us meditate in our heart and in our spirit
mm-hmm.
on your word daily. We ask all of these blessings in the mighty name of your son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, thank you for joining.
Yes. Thank you.
I got to say this one thing. Last night we had movie night at our church, and
mm-hmm.
there was a lady came to our table. She said, I heard the ratings on this movie. It's just, this is not a good movie. And she's going on and on. I'm looking at the ladies at our table and their faces were changing. I said, hey, you know it's not about the movie, right? It's only about the fellowship. Pastor does this so you guys have a place to come fellowship, have dinner,
right.
eat your ice cream, and have a wonderful time. That's all it's about. She's like,
yeah.
Oh. And so, you know, having them, they start looking at the movie going, oh, well, what's so great about it? And I looked at them. I said, isn't this a wonderful movie? And then they start looking. I turned back around with Cash, and they was like, it is kind of good. Because she came and planted that seed. Guess what
yes,
the title of the,
yes.
of the movie was? Dare to Drink. Sister-in-law, you ought to know what I'm talking about. That movie last night was Dare to Drink. I about jumped out my skin. And when I tell you that was a good movie, that was a good movie, because it was speaking to me. I was like, I was talking about, and he said, Dare to Dream. And that's it. I'm done. God bless you guys. I love you. I know you know what I'm saying.
Thank you.
There it is right there. I'm daring to drink. Love you guys. Have a good night. Back to you, Evangelist Hilda.
Okay, we are going to just close out because we are past our time.
Yeah.
And good night,
yes,
everyone.
I
love you.
I'll give
guys.
You the $20. Bye.
God bless you. Pastor Kathy, you're funny. And God bless you, ladies, for showing up in the spirit and didn't find it robbery to hear the word of God this evening. We
Amen.
Love you.
Amen.
And we always, you're always welcome to tune in every day from 6 to 8 p.m. Amen.
Amen.
God bless. Good night.
God bless you. Good night.
Shalom.